The trip would not be brief. In fact, the sleighs would follow the southern shore of Xingwu's passage, all the way from Zion to the shores of the Icewind Sea. Along the way, they would drop off at least some of their cargo in various towns and small cities strung out along the passage. But the real reason for taking that particular route was that it avoided the extraordinarily difficult terrain of the Mountains of Light. To help them do that, Mother Church, the Temple Lands, and the Republic of Siddharmark had cooperated over the centuries to build and maintain the high road which paralleled the passage. When the seagoing route was navigable, grass grew, literally, on the high road. When winter closed Xingwu's passage, the high road came into its own once more. By now, Angelique and her refugees were almost a third of the way to Siddharmark and the galleons, which would ultimately carry them to Telisburg and, hopefully, safety. Unless something went dreadfully wrong, they should be aboard ship within 2 months, and in Telisburg 7 or 8 5 days after that. By the end of June at the latest, I can't believe how easy she's made all this look. Jevons shook his head wonderingly as he crossed to the sleigh assigned to Mistress Francin Talbot, who, oddly enough, didn't look a thing like dainty, fragile, lovely Angelic Panda. No, Mistress Talbot was pleasant-looking enough, but she was also, clearly, the experienced, professional, sensibly dressed senior clerk Bruce Darren Sons had assigned to ride herd on this particular convoy's more valuable items. He rapped lightly on the sleigh's side door, then opened it and climbed the short boarding step when a voice invited him to do so.
"Good morning, Ibrahim," Mistress Talbot said with a smile. "What can I do for you today?"
"Actually, I've just come to bid you farewell," he replied. She sat back in her seat at the small built-in desk, eyebrows rising, and he shrugged.
"As nearly as I can tell, you've gotten away clean," he said. "We could both be wrong about that, but I don't think so. And now that I've figured out your evacuation route, I can arrange to have some of Sage and Merlin's other friends keep an eye out for you."
He chuckled suddenly.
"After all, the Mountains of Light are the traditional training grounds for Sagians, aren't they?"
"So I've heard," she acknowledged,
then turned her floor-mounted swivel chair to the side and stood.
"I'll miss you, you know," she said,
taking the 2 steps required to cross her tiny mobile office and hold out her hand. This time he simply took it in both of his, squeezing it without kissing it, and she smiled.
"Will I be seeing you again?"
There was an odd note in her voice, he thought, an almost whimsical one, or wistful, perhaps. They'd known one another for less than a month, yet he was confident she'd realized as well as he that they were kindred souls.
"Another of those capable, uppity females," he reflected. "She and Charlian are going to get along like a house on fire. I can already see that. And I suppose I still come under that capable, uppity female label, too. In a somewhat convoluted manner of speaking, at least."
"Oh, I think you can count on that," he said out loud.
"I've been told I'm a bit like a bad habit or a cold."
Her eyebrows rose higher, and he chuckled.
"Almost impossible to get rid of, once you've got me, I mean."
"Good."
She smiled and squeezed his hand back.
"I'll look forward to it."
"So will I," he assured her. "So will I."